There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim these eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, what a day.
Soon we will see the portals of glory.
Lord, he is old, but I know whom I have. I admire our heavenly Father, we come before you once again this morning. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for being able to come to church this morning. I pray for all those that are unable to be here, that you lay your healing hand on them and sick. Pray, oh God, for our church, that it might be revived, that their nation might repent. Pray for the safety of Israel. Be God and direct us. That's this all pray for. Further your kingdom, in Jesus' name we pray.
Good morning again. I want to share some words of an old song with you, and then I'm going to sing a different song. I grew up singing with my family, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And some of these old gospel hymns just mean so much to me. But I'm going to take about 2 extra minutes and share the words of this song. Sometimes we sing these old gospel hymns, we don't think about what they say. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Amen.
Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In the last verse, are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. There thou will find a solace there. Have you ever found a friend more faithful than Jesus? Listen to the words of this song. I've done it, I think, here once before. It's an old inspiration song. Been out a few years, but it means a lot to me. It simply says, I found a faithful friend.
Thank you.
the deepest place your heart has ever known. When you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems you're standing all alone. When the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart has stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience I've found a faithful friend. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother ever can. When the ones that you have trusted prove untrue, on him you can depend. He will never fail or let you down, and his love will help your broken heart to mend. So pick up the broken pieces, turn around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not stand another day. And when my heart has stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience I found a faithful friend. Oh, I can tell you by experience I found a faithful friend.
Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God bless you.
We're honored to have Brother Jerry Edwards and his wife Sarah with us today. And a little bit of background, he graduated high school in 1965 and joined the Navy. And I never will forget the first time I heard Brother Bud's giving me this. What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? But anyway, the first time Brother Bud introduced him, you know, and he said he was in the Navy. Said he wanted to be a Marine, but he just couldn't qualify. Right. Well, Brother Gary got up here, just as solemn as he could be. He said, "Bud's right. I wanted to be a Marine, but they asked me if I could write my name. And once I wrote my name on that piece of paper," he said, "I'm sorry, but you're overqualified." 1967, Brother Gary will probably share this, but he had a life-changing experience and with Jesus Christ. He was baptized in 1968 at Sinking Creek Baptist Church. In November of 68, he was licensed by East Park Baptist Church, ordained in 1970 by Happy Valley Baptist Church. He's ministered now for 39 years and over six congregations. So this morning, let's welcome Brother Gary as he comes this morning to preach to us. Come on.
Thank you for quite a splendid introduction. We appreciate you having us back. We've been here before, and the revivals have been here for homecoming. See a lot of faces that I recognize and some new ones that I don't. And all over the house, I had to look up in the balcony to find Doc Webb, and I grew up together, and don't hold that against him now, the message. Don't hold my message against him. We grew up together, and I got store-bought ears there whistling, and we double-dated together some in high school, ran around, and he turned out pretty good, and I've been preaching. And glad to see a lot of familiar faces, and thank you for, I wish I could do a backflip like Carl Edmonds. I'd be in good shape. I was making reference to my ears. From the bombings I was in Vietnam, I've lost 52% of my hearing on the right side, 42% on the left side, and so they gave me hearing aids. And a young audiologist over at Mountain Home said, I want to see you back in 2 weeks. And I went back and he began to interview me, and he said, how are you acclimating to your new ears? I said, it's the worst thing ever happened to me. He said, don't you hear any better? Oh yeah, I hear. Are they hurting you? I said, no, sir. Are they just getting on your nerves? I said, no, sir. He said, well, what's the problem? I said, I've had to change my wheel 3 times since I got these things. I didn't know how they was talking about me. He wrote it down on the, he was a young doctor, he wrote it down. He said, I'll use that in staff meeting. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere at this age, getting closer to the finish line, and I'm excited about it.
Amen.
I'm not dreading it. I'm excited about it. I'm like a little boy standing looking at a carnival poster on the town limits. When they come to town, they always put up these billboards and posters, and kids get excited about that. I can remember seeing the first carnival poster. They used to wrap them around a telephone pole and staple them to a telephone pole. And I can remember seeing them. And my dad was pretty hard and tighter than he was hard. And he didn't want to spend any money foolishly. And I can remember seeing the first one when I was a boy. I waited for that one moment that I could hit him up to take me to the carnival. The circus was coming to town. They had a picture of a little tiger in a cage and an elephant pulling it. I'd never seen an elephant or a tiger, either one. But I knew they wouldn't lie about it. And so I wanted to go to town and see an elephant pulling a cage with a tiger in it. And so I waited to that very special moment when I thought my dad was at his weakest point. You know how kids do. And I rushed in and hit him up to go, and he said, no, we're not going. That's foolish. But with the same anticipation, when I read about the land of no more, I get excited.
Amen.
I've got my planner with me, and about every other day in my planner, there's a time set aside for a different doctor. I'm at that point in life. You are. Thanks be unto God. Now they will be doctors. You ain't got anything to worry about, doctor. They will be doctors in heaven. But I don't have no idea what they're going to do. Well, am I right? No more sickness. No more sorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
No more pain. No more funeral directors. They'll be there. Funeral directors will be there. I had one straighten me out, Wayne Alexander, down at Dillon Taylor. I preached one night, there'd be no funeral directors in heaven, and he straightened me out after the service. He said, I've got reservations, and I said, well, you'll be unemployed. If you have your Bible with you, and I certainly hope you do, I want to ask you to turn to Psalms 9. While you're turning, we've just finished a week of celebration before. And wasn't our celebration cut off short with all the tragedies that's gone on in the last few days? Right here in Bristol, not just in Dallas, it was right here in Bristol. And our nation just celebrated another birthday. But I'm reminded as I celebrate my birthdays now, I know from birthday to birthday, I'm on borrowed time. Our nation's on borrowed time.
Amen.
Just went through a celebration and was cut off. Sort of like the fella who was standing on the street corner with his wife. And across the street stood a man so inebriated that he could barely stand, and he was holding on to a street sign. His wife of 10 years looked at him and said, honey, see that fella holding on to the sign on the other side? He said, I do. She said, I dated him before I dated you. He said, is that right? She said, yes, matter of fact, he asked me to marry him. And I emphatically said no. He said, yeah, I see he's still celebrating. So we're celebrating a birthday in this nation, but with tragedy to come right in on the heels of the celebration. If you're able to stand, I know many of you can, and that's fine. But if you're able, would you stand in reverence for the reading of God's Word? Chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunken down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgon, Selah, That's to say, meditate and a pause. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Say, let's pray. Master, hide us behind the cross. Speak through your servant. Speak to your servant. O Father, have thy way this morning. In Christ's name, amen. We are called by a holy and righteous God to be a nation of salt and light. He has called us to be a holy nation before God. But as we have watched our nation in trembling and fear, we have watched our nation just simply forget God. That 17th verse is our text. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Let's think just a moment about this word forget. As we think about forgetting, we're a computer savvy generation, are we not? I wish that our minds had a delete button like our computers, don't you? I mean, you go there and hit delete and she's gone. Matter of fact, I haven't even hit delete. I was typing a summary for associational work, and I had a 2-page document, and I'm typing away, and I didn't hit save, and I'm going along, and I don't know what happened, but it disappeared. I frantically looked for 30 minutes or an hour before I started over, and it was just gone somewhere in the cyberspace. We don't have a delete button, and that's not what he's talking about. For you see, this word, the opposite of forgetting is remembering, and our mind, we are awesomely and wonderfully created, and God has given us the ability to remember. Now, trust me, I probably see some of you today and won't remember your names. I'll remember your face, but I'll have a real time recalling your name. I do that regularly. I'm talking about folks I've known for a long time. I've quit doing this. I used to call them buddy and friend and neighbor. And I've stopped. There's no need to be foolish. I just say, I know you, but I can't remember your name. Amen?
Amen.
There's no need to running around the mulberry tree 2 or 3 times. It's just simply we. Now, it's there. A lady asked me the other day over at Oak Street. She said, preacher, in the Bible it says. Now, I want to know where it's at. Do you know where it's at? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. Oh, good. She got out her pen and paper, and I said, now, not so quick. It'll come to me about 1 in the morning if you want me to call me. It's there. The recall just isn't as fast as it used to be. Amen? And so when he's talking about a nation forgetting God, he's not talking about being deleted out of our memory. Actually, in the Hebrew, the word forget there would have been far better translated as the word neglect. Now, are we up to par? Are we up to speed now? You see, he wasn't talking about a nation that when you talked about God that they scratched their head and looked at you as if you were using some kind of big word they had never heard before. They knew there was a God. Israel. He's talking to Israel. Israel knew there was a God. Israel knew they were God's chosen people. But they would oftentimes come to the place. And by the way, the better times got, the more quickly they forgot God.
Amen.
They would become neglectful in their relationship with a holy and just and righteous God. So they neglected God. And that's where we're at in America today. We know there's a God. You go out on the street corner and most every American will tell you, yes, there's a God. And most of them, if you ask them to relate to you some of their knowledge about God, would get around to relating to you that he had a son named Jesus and that he came into our world and that he died on a cruel cross, and that the third day he was resurrected. That general information is out there in the world that we live in. But we have neglected God. Well, let's see what the Bible says. There's four things about a nation that's mentioned here when they forget God. First of all, listen to what it says. Verse 1, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. You see, a nation that forgets God begins to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. I've got to tell you, I know how frail I am. I'm not the man that I was in the Navy. I tell people that back in those days, that I used to take a brick and put walnuts on my stomach and crack it. I'm exaggerating. Before you call me a liar, I'm exaggerating. But I thought I could. Amen. And today I can hardly take a sledgehammer and bust one on an anvil. I'm getting more frail by the hour. But in all truth, I've been frail all my life. I read a report in the paper this morning. Said your waistline ought to be half of your height. And I discovered I'm 6 inches too short. I'm not too round, I'm just too short. If I'm 6 inches taller, I'd be in good shape. But the Bible challenges us. Which of you can change your stature one inch? Has there ever been a time you'd have liked to have been taller? But you couldn't be? I was awesomely and wonderfully created by God to be 6 foot even, and that's it. That's all I could ever be. No matter how I hung by my heels from a tree limb or whatever I tried, I was still going to just be 6 foot tall. I'm frail. We all are. But you see, the Bible says we come to the place that we get to thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. You see, in Moses' time, one of the problems was Israel began to want to be not a hearer of the law, but they wanted to be lawmakers. Haven't we got trouble in that area these days?
Amen.
Whatever we talk about, we want to create a brand new law. You see, the Creator has already made resolution of what's right and wrong.
Amen.
But we want to create law. These days that we're going strictly against Scripture.
Yes.
The Scripture says that man shall not lie with man.
Amen.
A woman shall not lie with woman. Oh, but the Supreme Court says it's perfectly honorable in the United States of America to put God down as the creator of law, and we'll take it into our own hands and we'll do differently. In Moses' day, they weren't allowed to have a divorce. But then man had a better idea and decided that we'd make our own laws. And we did. I can remember when Johnson City was closed down. I'll date myself. I can remember when Johnson City was nailed down tight on the Lord's Day. Can you?
Amen.
There was a blue law in Johnson City. They allowed one or two pharmacies to be open in case you were sick. You could go by and get some medicine, but you couldn't get a pack of gum with it. You remember those days?
Yeah, I do.
But we decided for the cause of economics and to bring better living to our community, that we'd start opening a little while on Sunday afternoon to give those folks a chance to shop that hadn't got to shop during the week. And then it expanded and expanded, and this morning on your way to church, nearly every business was open. We had a better idea. Has it made us richer? The holy day. I can remember growing up in the farm country, and I don't care how desperate a farmer was. My grandfather was, Doc Webb can tell you this, my grandfather Edward was the meanest white man I ever knew. He was. He came down the road, women would gather up their children and hustle them into the house out the side because he was a mean man. Evil man. But you know what? He farmed all of his life. And never, never did I see hay put up on our farm on Sunday. And he was the meanest man in the community. Things have changed. You see, we assume the responsibility that belongs to God. You see, our nation began with our forefathers with a copy of Scripture in one hand and a pen in the other, and they drew up our Constitution and our Bill of Rights dominated by the words of God.
Amen.
But now we have ignored and neglected and forgot God. And now government is in charge of everything. Wow. Let's hurry on. Man then creates his own judgment. Listen to what he says in verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. Now this is funny. I don't care who you are. This is funny. Get this picture in your mind. This old hunter, he's hunting for a living. He goes out in the pathway where he knows the animals are going to travel backwards and forth. And he deliberately works for days. He's in that hole for hours and hours, digging a pit that his animal that he wants to have nourishment from can come along. Or maybe it's a man. Maybe it's his enemy. And he's digging a pit for an enemy soldier to fall in. And he digs a pit and then very carefully puts brush and leaves and grass across it. And now he's ready for his enemy. He's ready for an animal to come along so he can eat. And so he's so happy about it, and he's dancing around telling all of his friends, and runs right down the path and disappears into his own hole. Now that's funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny. Or he goes out and sets a snare. And he's now ready for the game or the enemy to come his way. And he's goofing off and talking and laughing, having a big time, and steps in his own snare and is jerked up by the foot into a tree stump. That's what he's talking about here. He said, man creates his own judgment. He falls in his own pit. His own pit. He dug it. He masterminded. He engineered it, and he still fell right in it. There in verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. You know, God gets a lot of bad publicity. He does. Well, the Lord brought that on us. No. He let us dig our own pit. He let us build our own snare. He let us work with our own hands and said, I'm just going to let them get caught up in their own thing. You see, we create our own judgment.
Amen.
You can change the rules. Amen. We've been busy over the past few years changing the rules. Listen to what Galatians 6:7 says. Be ye not deceived. Don't let anybody sneak up on your blind side. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know Baptists. They sow wild oats and pray for crop failure. Amen. We do things. We know that we ought not be doing or saying. And then Lord, forgive me and help me out of this mess. Don't let me fall in the pit I dug. Don't let me get caught in the snare I set. No, you can change the rules, but you can't change the consequences. I tried changing my dad's rules. I did. He'd say, you can't. And under my breath, very quietly under my breath, I said, don't bet on it. And you know what? My dad was a man of his word. He was fair. He'd say, hey, Gary, you can't do this. You can't go there. You can't be with this group. Under my breath, don't bet on it. The next hint that he had that I was breaking his rules, you know what he would do? He was fair. He would look at me and say, haven't we had this talk before? Yeah, I think we have. But we're not going to talk about it again. You know what? When I broke that rule the third time and got caught, or the fourth time and got caught, let me tell you something. You can write this down. I was headed to the woodshed. Didn't pass go, didn't collect $200. All the begging. Lord, I've promised him heaven. Lord, Daddy, I will never do it again. If you won't beat me this time, I'll never do it again. No, we had to talk. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Wow. You know what we're reaping right now? Any of you in here, but don't raise your hand. Any of you in here besides me on Social Security? Now that's not an entitlement. They've been taking that out on me since I was 15. I had my first job at 15, and they took Social Security. I paid it in. I don't think I'll ever draw out what I paid in, but that's another question. What's wrong with Social Security, about broke? We've done it yet. Can I share this with you? 1969, three states, North Carolina, one of our border states, was the first to legalize abortion. Where did it go? Straight to the Supreme Court. 1973, Supreme Court said, it shall be the law of the land. It shall be the law of the land that we can have abortions in every state. You know where we're at? Right at 100 million. Count them. 100 million souls that went out into eternity through abortion. Now I'm not up here to try to change your mind. I'm not politicking. I just want you to do the math. 100 million taxpayers have been taken out of our society through our own pit called abortion. And now they would be paying in to my Social Security fund and it would be good. But they're not there to do the work. So what have we done? We've brought in alien workers that doesn't pay Social Security or income tax, and they're doing the work that those people have been doing. We dug our own pit. So the next time you start complaining about Social Security, you remember, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. We dug our own pit. I'm not against those people who come in here to work. They need to eat like I do. Well, the Bible says that nation shall die. And what he's talking about says they will be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell. The word there simply means they're going to die. The realm of the dead. America, for all practical purposes, is dead. Let me take you back. The Roman Empire died. Now Rome's still there. Amen? But they're no longer considered a world power. History moved on without them. Germany came and went to the forefront and they were going to be a world power. Guess what? They died thanks to a lot of brave soldiers and sailors and Marines and Air Force and Coast Guard and men who went and bled and died to change the tide. And Germany was left in the sway of history. You can go on and on. Saddam Hussein thought he was going to capture all the Middle East. He's dead. Hope he's in heaven, but I don't think he is. I don't even think he got 72 virgins. I think he's in hell this morning. History moves on without them. We're right at the place. We're right at the history-making time for America. History is going to move on without us. There's only one hope. In verse 9, he said the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. Verse 10, he said those that trust in him, he will not forsake them. goes on and he said, I'll hear the cry of the humble in verse 12. The needy won't, verse 18, won't be forgotten. There's still hope. It's not over yet. But here's the solution. The only thing that's good. Did you bring us good news, preacher? I did. It's not the Republican Party. It's not the Democratic Party. It's not the Independent Party. It's not a man living anywhere on planet Earth that's going to change history. What is it, preacher? Revival. Revival. And this gets to me. It's amongst Baptists. I'm Baptist, and I'm around a lot of Baptist people. The folks around here, here's the bottom line, my clothes. Revival. Now you can pray all you want to for Washington and all those bureaucrats and say all what we're going to have to do is change Washington. No. Let me tell you something. If I never get to preach to you again, you remember that. Revival must begin in the home. Remember what he said? Wherever there's two or three gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. The church started out, folks, in the home, not the church buildings. They didn't have buildings. Churches started out in the home. They went from house to house. Wherever there's two or three gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Revival has to begin in the home. It's been a long time. I'll rat on Doc this morning. Doc and I kept late hours once in a while when we go out and date and go to the Blue Circle and have a big time, you know. Let me tell you something. You couldn't outdo Essie Webb, Steve's mom. You stay out to 12. Well, come on in, boys. She had a chair pulled up next to the fireplace. Come on in, boys. You wasn't going in to go to bed. The later it was, the more chapters she read. About 11, she'd just read you one chapter and have prayer with you and send you off to bed. Midnight, you got two chapters. Don't dare stay out to one. You got a whole book. And it wasn't one of them three-page books either. You know, that made a difference in our lives.
Amen.
Hearing the Word of God from people that loved us the most. My daughter gets so mad she wants to fight me. Electronic babysitting has overtaken the home.
Right.
It's time we had revival in the home. As goes the home, so goes your church. Your church will never be any more spiritual than your home. If it's not spiritual at home, it'll not be spiritual when you get here. You bring the service with you from home. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the community. As goes the community, so goes the state. As goes the state, so goes the nation. Where does it start? In the home. You're here this morning. Revival must begin in the home, in the heart. Not in Washington. Not in some senator or some congressman. It has to start at home. Let me tell you something. They do in Washington whatever they know we'll put up with on this level. They love their jobs. Nation gets back to the place of revering God, you'll have a change in Washington because they want their jobs. Let's pray. Master, right now in the quietness of this morning, as we pray and prepare for an invitation, God, let revival begin in my heart. I need to think about my senators and my congressmen, my state leaders, until I first think about me. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a devoted heart. Create in me a pure heart. Lord Jesus, may I be salt and light to my nation, to my children, to my grandchildren, to my church, to my community and city and state. May it begin in me. Lord, have your way in every heart this morning. If there's a soul that's unprepared for eternity, may this be the hour of their saving. For all your children, Lord, whatever it is that's needed, baptism, church membership, whether, Lord, it's a calling to ministry, whatever it is, have thine own way, Lord, in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. As we stand, as we sing, would you come? Hell, would you come?
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, business on website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.